真诚。What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town number 32. I'm Irish Chan Man V, and joining me today is what is that 32? Is that 32? Every time Trump has that
like,
look,
wow, 32.
It scares me. It scares me every time you have that look on your face. No, but joining me today is Trump, my co-host each and every week. How's it going, Trump?
Hello.
All right, and our guest today, Raynad. Good morning, man. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lots to talk about today. Lots of news. We always have the perfect timing on Value Town because they announce a new card right before Value Town each and every week. So another Nax Mage card we're going to talk about in just 1 second. And DreamHack seedings were announced. Also, a great event run by Raynad this past weekend, Lord of the Arena. We'll talk a little bit about that and the new Templestorm website also. And then we'll follow it up with some. There is a Paladin deck tech that Raynad did recently, and we haven't talked about Paladin much on this show, so I figured we'd at least take a gander at that. Questions, of course, from you guys at the end in the Reddit thread, which I will post here really quickly once I can get to it. And hopefully, you guys can excuse me. My voice is starting to go a little bit. I kind of caught a bug last night and woke up a little bit sick. So if it goes, then you'll understand, hopefully. But here is the Reddit thread. Go ahead and post your questions there. We'll go with the most upvoted ones first and work our way down from there. But okay, let's start off with the new Mage card. You guys get a chance to take a look at this?
I have, yeah. Just looked at it.
All right, it's called Duplicate, and it's a secret. So, man, that's crazy. When a friendly minion dies, you get two copies in your hand. What do you think about this, Trump? First thoughts.
All right, well, if you're asking about the first thought, which I've considered the card for about 10 minutes, seems to be, it'll mix up a lot of the secrets, because it'll be really tough to play around them. That's assuming the secrets are any good to begin with, though. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know. My inclination is that it's bad, but I think this is one of those cards that's hard to evaluate.
Okay, Raynad?
Well, it seems really good with Kieran Tor Mage, but I feel like I'm kind of angry. Like, doesn't every class only get one card from this set? There's only one class card, right? Or is there more?
I don't know for sure, but I would think so, yeah. I would think there would only be one class card, and the rest of them would be neutral.
Okay, but it's either, like, five or one. If it is one, I'm kind of upset that Mage got a secret, because Mage really needed help. That's a really fun class to play, and I think they should have buffed it a little bit and just given it a card that's kind of just outright good, like Warrior got. But, I mean, that's life. The card's not horrible. It seems good with Kieran Tor Mage. You can play it with stuff like Wolf Rider or Leroy. Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst. If it does become good, though, it's just going to make Hunter more popular. So that's also kind of, I don't know. You know, at a certain point, if the secrets get too good, if the Paladin secret gets popular, if the Mage secret gets popular, then Flare just becomes insane again. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not the worst card. It's far from the worst Mage secret. It just seems a little bit tough to get a lot of value out of. It's a little bit slow.
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to your head are just very aggro like combos there, you know, with the, like you mentioned, Wolf Rider and Leroy. Any other kind of cool potential, you know, friendly minions, like giant minions ending up in your hand and you able to really swing games with it?
Like, you kind of have to play it with cheap cards, right? Because it's like, if you play like a Sunwalker or something, you get two Sunwalkers, you're probably not going to have time to play both of them over the course of a game. So the cards like this are generally better with cheap cards. All card draws usually better with cheap cards, because then, you know, instead of sitting with a bunch of stuff that's too slow in your hand, you have time to play it all out. Like with Sprint, for example, you don't want to draw backstabs, eviscerates even late in the game off that. But Yeah, it's. I'm still disappointed, I guess. I wish Mage got something a little bit better.
Yeah, Trump, you disappointed with this?
I think it's too early to say whether or not I'm disappointed. It's like, part of the thing that they're trying to push with mages is for them to be a secret-based class based on how many secrets there are, and I gotta admit, you can't really test them all anymore, so it becomes kind of an interesting game, and Kirin Tor Mage is one of the most efficient minions you can possibly get when you play with a secret. Mm. The main problem is that like none of the secrets are that great to play on turn 3. Maybe this one, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of wish mages' secrets are a bit cheaper, but it's life.
Two? You think two would be good?
Yeah. Yeah, if they made them all two, that would push them into the realm of playability. But stuff like Ice Block is insane for two mana, so
yeah,
that's true. It's kind of a fine line.
Okay, yeah, so hopefully, you know, hopefully mages will, I don't know, we'll see a new dynamic with it, maybe more secrets. There have been some secret mages in the past, but never been that strong. There's a lot of those type of cards that synergize with it, right? But, I don't know. Maybe we'll see some. All right, so we got two classes, I think, remaining, right? Left for class card announcements. So looking forward to those. I think it's Priest, and it's... What's our last one? We always go through this. The Rogue?
Warlock, I think.
Is it Warlock? Oh, it's Warlock. Okay. So Priest and Warlock. All right, we can see what those get. Hopefully Priest will get something good, too.
I'm excited for those.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Warlock.
The Warlock? Man, the Warlock already has so many good... It already has so much diversity. I can't even imagine what else they're going to give to it.
So does Warrior, and then they gave a True Silver Champion. We'll see, right?
Yeti Killer. Yeah, totally. Crazy good. All right, let's move on. And let's talk a little bit about your event this past weekend. And Trump, you participated in it also. It was the first arena event. I mean, arena-centric event. And, of course, there are some limitations to it. You couldn't draft, like, four water elementals or anything like that. But for the most part, you know, it was very arena-centric. And we saw some different types of gameplay and situations that we typically don't see in Constructed these days. Reynad, overall, how was your, what is your reaction to the viewership and just the success of it?
I mean, we had a lot of popular players. I was expecting maybe 20 to 30. It was pretty insane. Yeah. We peaked at 70,600 viewers, which was crazy. It's way more than I expected would show up. And, I mean, I'm just glad that, you know, players like Trump and, like, Amaz Hafu, all you guys, like, were interested in being a part of it, because otherwise it couldn't have happened. And, you know, I'm glad people liked watching it. There are definitely a lot of things I felt like I could have done better on the production side. I'm a horrible organizer, not very responsible. But recording games took like much longer than it should have, I think. But the end product looked good, and people loved watching it. And I'm definitely gonna do another Lord of the Arena, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah, it was only a 3-hour event, right? I think over the whole thing. Sure. Yeah. So the next one you're planning on doing more of a full day, or maybe a couple days?
A lot of people wanted, like, a, you know, double elimination, best of five and stuff. And, like, when I hosted the tournament, I really looked at it from what would be best from a viewer perspective. And it would be boring to watch the same two arena decks play against each other, like, three or four games in a row.
Yeah.
So I made it really fast-paced and just switch between players real quick. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was so successful, because... I don't know. Like, I have the attention span of a hamster. I don't want to watch the same deck play against the same deck for that many games in a row. It doesn't even happen in Constructed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, it was definitely one of the things that people liked about it, was that it was just so fast-paced, and it just kind of went game to game to game type of thing. And I think overall the community doesn't have a very long attention span either, so that was a really good move.
Trump, yeah, I think I'm going to definitely do eight players, though. Like, two of the players got, like, a free win this way, which I didn't really think it through all the way when I organized the thing. I just, like, randomly generated brackets. But, I should have had it be eight players. So next time it'll be eight for sure, at least.
Yeah, I know I know the challenge there too, because I had similar kind of issues with the whole deck war and 12 people thing, so it can be pretty challenging. Yeah, it'd be cool to see Crypt play in it too. He cast
yeah, actually
it,
offered him to play first. He said he'd rather cast. So
okay, Trump, what'd you think of the whole event?
It was really great. I echo seeing Rain on Sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you suggest, like maybe to make it better, like multiple drafts or anything like that?
I think there could be another draft in like the finals or maybe the semifinals. It depends on how fast-paced he wants to keep it, but I think there definitely should be at least two. Yeah. Like, not necessarily two in the early game, but two for some.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, actually. Because they have to... Even if somebody has an insane deck, up until the finals, you can kind of switch.
You know,
also, I think a lot of people do enjoy watching the pick part.
Yeah, I think that part was a lot of fun. You know, just getting to see what they had to pass up, and it was funny. People were wondering who Masan was talking about during his. He was talking to me the whole time because I was actually having to verify his decks and stuff. So it was seeing all those water elementals having to pass up. I think was pretty funny for people to see. But what do you think about maybe doing having multiple decks, but just having people have to do multiple drafts to have multiple decks?
It's like a lot of stuff to keep track of as a viewer.
Okay.
I think just keeping it simple, like one draft, one player.
Yeah.
If you do multiple drafts, you have to like lock them into the same class, because then otherwise everyone will have mage, as opposed to just a couple people having mage. And it's like so many little things about it. Yeah, sometimes somebody will get a terrible draft.
Yeah.
That'll happen. But the whole limit to two of a rule kind of helps out with that. Like, for example, my deck was maybe like an 8-win deck in normal arena, I feel like. But it ended up being really good because players like Amaz couldn't have five water elementals. So it kind of balances out the quality of drafts having that rule. So mm-hmm. that kind of helps out a little bit, but I don't know.
I know Krip in his recent video suggested maybe even making a restriction that nobody can pick mage. What do you think about that?
I think Rogue is better than Mage.
Really?
I think that's a really suggestive. Subjective. It's really subjective what the best class is. A lot of people think it's Mage. I personally think there are a lot of counters to it once you're experienced enough in how to draft a deck that's effective against it. So, and I think Rogue is better. Like, if I had the choice between Rogue and Mage, I would take Rogue.
Okay, I gotta get Trump's opinion on that. What do you think, Trump?
I think the mage thing is overblown, and it's just something that people are annoyed to play against. Mage is statistically my third worst. Is it third now?
Worst?
No, it's actually it's in the middle.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I completely agree with Trump. It's not as good as people think it is. You know.
Right.
It is good, but not.
All right.
It's not
so
like
no
that
restrictions.
It just happens to be one of the like. I would agree with the Flame Strike, move it up to rare, switch it with Blizzard plan. I think that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's got one of the flashiest ways to cause you to lose, and it's very common to see it, and everyone always picks the Flame Strike card. But once you play around it, it's significantly less good.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, good stuff. But overall, the arena was... the lore of the arena event was a lot to do with kind of to be in tandem with your launching of your TempoStorm.com site. And
yeah.
let me show that real quick.
I kind of wanted to make a second before this started, I put Gar's new guide up on the website.
Oh yeah.
It's something I've been planning for 3 or 4 months at this point. I kind of wanted to make like the solomid.net. Right now, it's in its infancy. It's basically just a place for myself, Gara, Tides of Time to go ahead and put up our lists and talk about the decks that we play and then show people how to play them like really in depth with commentary and stuff. But it'll evolve into a lot more than that. I'm looking into, working with some web developers. There's a lot of awesome platforms I'm looking at. Like, the kind of stuff I'm looking at is... I can't even believe that technology exists. I don't know why Hearthstone platforms are so far ahead of everything else on the internet, but It'll blow you guys away once I actually have it all incorporated. But yeah, I'm really excited for what it's going to do. It's going to do a lot of community stuff. Right now, it's just content, but it's the community stuff is coming like next. That's the next big step.
Okay, well, that's really cool. I mean, definitely, you guys are the first team to really have a big website like that. I mean, Curse has some of their properties too, but just having one named after it, it's pretty nice, man. Definitely really cool. Good place, yeah, resource to get all the decks and everything.
Yeah, definitely. It'll just get better and better for the user. A lot of people, some people were unhappy about the whole subscription model thing.
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit, because that's been the biggest thing.
Basically, I'm an irresponsible 22-year-old kid, and I need some way to salary players. And I'm not a multi-million dollar organization like Curse, so this is a way for me to like have some money coming in outside of streaming, and then I can use that to kind of build the brand, build the players, fly them out to tournaments like DreamHack. And it's just a way of like supporting the team. You know, all of us make 2 videos per week, which is a ton of content compared to any other website. And basically a couple of these videos are like extras for people that want to support the site, you know, pay $10 a month and help us out. So I understand how people are a little upset about that. It looks like a paywall. It looks like we're trying to sell them content. But really, it's just like, if people want to support the team, they get a couple extra videos. They can do it that way. But if not, then there's still a ton of content for free. So,
okay, good stuff, man. I mean, I'm excited to see some of those improvements you're talking about. And you seem really, really excited about them.
Yeah, they look really good. I mean, hopefully I can get them up soon.
Yeah, first step's always just to get it out there, right? So now that you got it out there, improving it's the fun part. Okay, let's talk about DreamHack. So there was an announcement, I believe yesterday, that listed out the seeds, at least the top 12 seeds, and then there will be 4 spots that will be battled, battled between like 256 BYOC folks at DreamHack. But what do you think about the 12 seeds? So let me bring those up really quickly. A lot of names that we know, some names that maybe some folks don't know, but overall, what do you guys think? You got one of your players. No, actually, 2 of your players, Gara and Tides of Time, are in there.
Trump, you want to take us first? Or?
Yeah, Trump, what are your thoughts? Or just in general seeding. Any general comments too is good.
I'll do the seeding first in general. So I like the idea that it has some seeds and it has a free-for-all element where, like, some amount of people can get in.
Yeah.
I know there's been some people not liking just how many people got seeded versus how many people need to make it in, because getting a 200, like, getting top 4 in a 256 tournament is very, very difficult. It's true. The people that got seeded, they've got achievements, they've got high name recognition, with some exceptions. Reyna, take it away.
ECOP's already starting the trash talk in chat. That was great.
What is ECOP doing in that list?
I don't know. You modded him, man. What was I going to say? Yeah, I don't want to like insult players or fire shots, so I'm not going to. I do that a little bit too often. It's something I'm trying to work on. But I'm a little bit disappointed with some of the choices. I think that a lot of people see me as like a horrible tournament player, and I don't have any of these tournament results or anything. But, I wasn't. It's not my fault that I wasn't invited to 6-player tournaments against Koreans in Germany, and I can't. It doesn't seem fair to me that people get to put that on their resume and other people don't. You know, I think that Zotac Cup winners should be put on there. People that play these local community organized tournaments. If I'm not on there, it's totally fair, but every loss I've ever had in like 2 to 3, so I don't think, and I've won a good amount of like NESLs and stuff, like a couple, like I've won 2 out of the 3 I've been on or something. I won both and then I lost both.
Seeding in general, I mean, it's a tough thing to do right now, because you're absolutely right. A lot of the tournaments up to date, or at least the high profile ones, have been invitationals. So, you know, it wasn't like a qualifier or anything like that.
Yeah, that's really what upsets me. You know, it should be only open tournaments that count. And I think that even including invitationals, if player. I'll fire shots at one player. Players like Ekop, I think they have like the literal lowest win percentage of any player alive in
tournaments,
including Invitational. How do you go 0-8 in something? Like, anyway, but it's like stuff like that, you know? These players get to be in every tournament, and it pisses me off, and it still hasn't changed. And I think they should get to go through a qualifier like everyone else. And I think if they made the whole thing qualifier, like they didn't have seeded players like last DreamHack, that would be awesome. Because that's how you get unknown players out there. Yeah. That's how a player like Gara gets his name out there, you know? That's better for the community, I think.
Yeah, it's tough being an organizer, right? Because all those invitationals, the reason they were invitationals is because you have to have some success, right, from a viewer standpoint, and obviously stacking it that way is
like three of these players I had to Google. It's like all of, I don't know. I wonder if Curse is sponsoring DreamHack. I'm not happy about it, but it could be a lot worse. You know?
The Curse it players aren't bad. I mean, what do you mean? Alchemist, Dark One. I mean, Savitz. Are you gonna say Savitz shouldn't make it? Or
no, Savitz should be in there. He's a good player. Solid tournament experience. Like, he actually wins tournaments. You know, he has a positive win rate. He should definitely be in there. Taij NL. That player should definitely be in there. That player, people haven't heard of, he's a phenomenal
player. Oh, he's really good. Player. He's crazy good.
And then Reels is good. It's just like, I don't know. There's a few of the players in there that, I don't know. Whenever I've seen them in a tournament, they've handily lost, and I only looked up their tournaments after I had to Google them. So I feel like that's, no matter what metric you're using for... whatever. I'm not going to complain. Yeah. Honestly, there just aren't a lot of players that have tournament experience in Hearthstone, so you can't really... There's no, like, metric, right? You can't really use anything to judge. I don't know. I think that... I'm glad that two of Tempestone members are in there. I think if one of us is not going to be in there, I think I'm glad that it's me, because I think if I do win the 256-player thing and then I win the tournament, that'll shut up a lot of haters, and I'm excited to try my best, but... it could be a lot worse. You know, those are all, you know, far above average players, and I'm just glad that this tournament is happening and it's big and to step up from the last DreamHack in terms of scope. So hopefully it's really successful.
It should be really cool. I mean, obviously the production team will be manning it, and I'm assuming DreamHack's going to be on the main stage. Hearthstone will be on the main stage, like most or the entire tournament, so that'll be pretty cool, at least one of the main stages, so that's gonna be awesome. But yeah, the seeding is interesting. I think, you know, we're still in a stage with Hearthstone where we're trying to prove that, even though Blizzard already announced that 250k Hearthstone world champion, which is amazing, but I still think a lot of folks are still trying to prove that that Hearthstone is capable of being a very, very large esports, and having to seed these players in the criteria that comes into seeding it, I think, is a tricky thing as an organizer. So I think as we go more and more, we'll start seeing some more and more more open-like tournaments, less seedings, you know, that are just picked for whatever reason. Or maybe we need a ranking system already in Hearthstone. I don't know. Maybe something like that, too, could be interesting.
Yeah, like a tournament ranking system. Gosu Gamers is trying to do stuff like that, but they're... It's tough, right?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. It's still going to be somewhat subjective, at least in the beginnings of it, right? But anyways, it's going to be a great event. Be excited. I'm sure there's going to be some more announcements soon. So the 256 is BYOC, so you have to actually be there, right? You have to play there? That's going to be crazy. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge hall with, like, I got a computer seat. I just booked it yesterday. I have to find some laptop while I'm there because... the one I have right now is like one of these skinny, ones that turn into a tablet thing, so it doesn't have an Ethernet port. Yeah, it's gonna be a struggle. It's okay though.
Well, that's the beauty of DreamHack, man. Getting a chance to see the real festival.
Experience.
Yeah, the real festival. BYOC is the biggest BYOC in the world, so that's cool. You're gonna get a chance to actually do that and compete that way. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some meta. And we always talk a little bit about meta, and this being the last few days of the ladder, too. Kind of want to get your thoughts. Trump, any changes you've seen in the last week in the meta?
Seems mostly the same. I see a lot of diversity, but it's mainly coming down to Zoo, Handlock, Miracle Rogue, two different varieties of druid, and a bit of shaman. And then there's like a smattering of everything else. It still seems like everything is viable, kind of.
Yeah, I feel like I see a new Reddit article every day, somebody getting legend with some different type of deck. So it does seem a little bit more, or it still seems pretty diverse. But, you know, one of the things I've talked to about just with some of the top players, especially the ones that are really close to being in the top 16 right now, is that they just won't play anything but Miracle Rogue, at least a few of them that I've talked to. What do you think about that sentiment? Is that a pretty common sentiment right now? Reynad?
I think it's true for a lot of players. I think a lot of it is because of their inexperience with Handlock. Because there's, the way I look at it, Rogue is the best deck far and away. Well, not like far and away. Handlock is really close behind it, and then the third best deck is like way down here. It's a pretty big gap between those three decks. But I alternate between Rogue and Handlock when I want to climb. I've been top 10 the entire season. I hit rank 2 days ago, but then I played trying to get rank 1. Now I'm rank 8. But yeah, it's okay. Like I play nothing but Rogue or Handlock when I want to climb. It's just they're the best decks.
Trump, what are your thoughts on Miracle Rogue and best decks type of thing?
I'm really cautious when I call them the best deck. I think that anything that... So there are decks out there which can definitely beat Miracle Rogue, and sort of like the deck to gun against, and at the same time, since it's kind of a challenging deck to play, you don't see as much of it as is representative of its goodness, which is really beneficial to the Miracle Rogue players, because not only is it a good deck, it's kind of underrepresented for how good it is. So the metagame isn't quite shifting enough to beat up on Miracle Rogue as much as it should be. So it's an interesting puzzle. That said, I think there are decks that can beat Miracle Rogue, which is why I hesitate to call it the best deck, but currently, as things stand in the environment, it is the best deck.
Yes, I mean, is that what you play too when you're trying to climb?
No, I play Handlock.
Okay, you play Handlock when you're trying to climb. Okay, good stuff. And so you guys going to be grinding it out the last 2 days here? Because the last 2 days of last season was pretty crazy on the ladder. Like, I was talking to folks like Admirable who had to play like full days, you know, just to even stay at the spot that he was. Are you guys anticipating the same thing this turnaround or this go around?
If I fall out, I'll play. If I don't fall out, I'll sit there and get top 16. There's no reason to play until I drop out of top 16. So,
is it easy to squat?
I don't know. I stopped at 5 for a couple of weeks, then I dropped to like 20. Then I took it up to 5, and then now I'm at 8. We'll see how much I drop. I wouldn't be surprised if it's really volatile on the last day. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, general question towards that. Like, what win percentage do you have to have at rank, like, say, 5 legendary to stay at rank 5 legendary?
Good question.
80 to 90.
Yeah. 80 to 90, wow.
If you want to get above 5, it's 90. If like you want just 5 to 10, it's like 80. Yeah.
That's really impressive. Basically, if you lose one and you win 3, you're actually losing ranks.
Yeah, absolutely. I went on a 10-win streak from rank 12-win streak from rank 22 to rank 2, and then I had one loss and I went to 14.
Wow.
So it's
brutal, man.
Actually hell, yeah. And this is why you need to play decks like Rogue, because even against the decks that beat Rogue, Rogue can still beat them, whereas the decks that beat Handlock just outright beat Handlock, you know. And that's the thing about Rogue, it can still beat anything even if it's an unfavorable matchup. That's why you need to play decks like that, because you can't go like, oh, I have a 70% win rate. That's not getting you top 10. You need to just not lose for like hours. And that's really tough to do.
Is there any precautions in place on the ladder that prevents or that requires you to continue to play? Like, if you don't play for a few days, do you actually receive a penalty for that?
No, it's just that you're not climbing and other players are going to climb above you. Because, you know, everyone wants top 16, especially since they made that announcement. So there's a lot of people at 17 that are playing, a lot of people between ranks 17 and 20 that are playing, and then If they win, they jump up a couple spots and they knock out somebody in top 16. And then that guy plays.
Yeah.
And they just gradually top each other. So there's a lot more people actually playing in the top 20. So if you don't play, people will just jump you sometimes. If you're rank 5, somebody will jump you, and then somebody will jump him, and then all of a sudden you're like rank 12, and you're in danger of falling out. So people's MMR just scales up as the season goes on.
But the top 5 is pretty safe for the most part. Like, I can see that being crazy competitive for those last few spots.
I thought it was. I don't know. I fell from 5 to 22, and then loss from 2 to 14 was brutal. I was tweeting about that stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's
2 to 14. It's almost like, why even play? I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. One loss. Trump, like, where are you ranked right now?
Oh, right now I'm ranked somewhere around 1,000. Okay. I had my time where I climbed up to 30, and then I plummeted down to somewhere around 1,200 when I was trying to find a coward and Miracle Rogue. Unfortunately, these decks, which are good against Miracle Rogue, aren't that great against the rest of the field.
Yeah. That's pretty tough. That's pretty crazy.
I was playing on Europe yesterday. I'm ranked 2,000 on Europe. That metagame is completely different. Oh, everyone plays either Miracle Rogue or Leper Gnome.
Or Leper Gnome.
Put Leper Gnome in it.
Any class with Leper Gnome in it. Yep. Okay. So really it's aggressive classes. For really aggressive classes or decks, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, again, guys, last 2 days of the ladder season, and hopefully we'll see who we'll see some I guess a lot of battling it out at the top. And right now, it looks like you're in position to be in top 16, so that's really cool. There's only like 3 more months to do it, so gotta get it in. And maybe Trump, maybe a crazy 48-hour push, man. Is it possible? Man, it could be some, like, Eye of the Tiger stuff, man.
I think it's technically possible, but I'm holding more out for next month. There's always next month.
There's always next. That's true. Next month will be really interesting if Nax comes out. You know, like...
That will be interesting.
It'll be crazy, actually.
Nax comes out will be really interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. And even the following month, I think, will be pretty crazy. So June and July, I think, are going to be playing out. They're going to be really, really good ones to look at. Okay, let's talk a little bit of decks. Let's talk about this mid-range paladin deck that Reynad, you recently put together on your site. Figured we'd talk paladin since we rarely talk paladin. Maybe we talked one time with Yuki, maybe. So let's give this a look. And it's mid-range, so it's not the aggro.
Yeah, it's a cool deck. Most of the paladin I've played is control, so I wanted to try aggro, and that's what this started out as, with like, Divine Favor and Worgen Infiltrators and stuff, and then eventually I just cut all the situational cards and started putting in more and more expensive stuff, and I kept the Worgen Infiltrators for a long time anyway, just as an early game removal spell, and they're good with Argent Protector. That was like the last card I cut, and now it's this, which is a pile of mid-range cards with a really smooth curve.
Yeah,
it's consistent, I like it. It's like surprisingly better against Rogue than I thought it would be. I thought it would just get destroyed by Rogue, but games have been pretty close, actually.
I mean, there's no taunt in this thing outside of Tyrion, right?
Yeah, no taunt. I mean, when you think about it, Rogue only really plays one charge card. All you want to do is kill all their stuff and stay at 30 health, and then you can't die.
Oh, that's true.
The taunt isn't exactly the best solution. Taunt is just another minion they have to kill, just like any other minion.
Yeah. Got that life gain too, which is really, really good against. Can be good against Rogue to put you out of range on a few of those turns. But yeah. Captain Greenskin, that been really, really good for you.
Yeah, Azur Drake number 3. You can follow up True Silver with that guy. It's pretty gross, and it's good at Sword of Justice too. I've been liking him.
Nice.
The Blood Mage is the card I'm least sure about, but like even if it's bad, it replaces itself, so it's not that bad. But it gives you some pretty strong consecrates.
Yeah.
Good with Hammer of Wrath as well. It's just a solid standard deck, like really straightforward to play, just like Druid. Kill their stuff, play your own stuff.
Yeah, Trump, anything stand out to you?
So the big reason why I actually really wanted to play a Paladin deck, and this is something where I think a lot of people would generally gravitate towards since there's a lot of good Paladin value cards here. The main thing that kept me from going down this direction, and then I generally took a more shamanistic approach, is because I looked at it and was like, it kind of has the same general idea as Shaman. The hero ability is even quite similar, and the cards are kind of similar, and it's like, do I really think this deck is stronger than Shaman midrange, or do I think it's stronger than Druid midrange? And it has its pros and cons, but I ultimately decided I think the other two are slightly better. What are your thoughts on that, Raymond?
Yeah, I kind of agree. There are definitely a lot of things that Druid and Shaman do better. I think this deck is more consistent than either, because Shaman can get those draws where your overload or your answers don't match up correctly to your opponent's threats. Like, for example, if you're playing against Control, Aldor Peacekeeper is a 3-3 in this deck that still is decent against cards like Mountain Giant and stuff. But if you're playing a card like Hex against, or sorry, a card like, well, yeah, like, how do I put this? Basically, the Shaman deck is, it doesn't play as many creatures, it plays so many reactive cards, Lightning Bolt, Earthshock, Rockbiter, Lightning Storm, and a lot of times these cards don't match up right with what threats your opponent's playing. A lot of times you roll wrong on Lightning Storm, your overload doesn't match up right, and this deck is a little bit more proactive, which I kind of like, so that's like one slight advantage. Basically, I think this deck will do the same thing every single game. Whereas Shaman, you get those occasional games where you just get like destroyed because you drew all your expensive cards in your opening hand, and or like, I guess that can happen to this too. But yeah, the strengths of this deck are basically a quality Peacekeeper. It's better against Handlock than a deck like Druid for sure, and it's better than Zoo, or it's better against aggressive decks than a deck like Shaman, I think, too. But it's, yeah, like this against Handlock, you'd rather be playing Shaman. And they each have their, like, slightly worse, slightly better matchups. But yeah, I agree with you.
Exactly.
Like, there's cards like Hex that really push Shaman over the top. And then with Druid, there's cards like Ancient Allure that really push that over the top.
Yeah, I mean,
does this deck do anything? It's like strictly better, not really, but it does things that are unique. As those weapons are strong, like Sword of Justice is really strong, Elder Peacekeeper is really strong, Consecration's a much better card than Lightning Storm. Just little things like that all add up.
I mean, you've got two swords in there, and you know, I've seen variations that have one in there in these kind of mid range paladins. Where do you like to play it? I mean, do you like to play on turn three and just try to get it out as soon as possible? Yeah. Or is it more of a later game type of thing?
You just play it as quickly as you can and buff as many guys as you can. Just how it works. And yeah, it's good at picking off little dudes against like other Harvest Golem tokens and Argent Squires, stuff like that at attack.
Yeah. Blood Knight, how often does Blood Knight hit?
Pretty often, actually. It's kind of a slower deck, so if he doesn't have a target, you can wait. But you also play two Squire, two Argent Protector. The other guy plays Bubbles a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, throughout the course of a game, this deck actually draws a lot of cards. So you'll see a Bubble plus Blood Knight at some point, pretty much every game.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, actually it's got the Drakes, the Wraths, and the Thalanus and the Lay Hands. It is quite a bit of draw for this type of paladin. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So how much success have you had with it? Like, I don't think you're playing it at the top of the ladder. But
no, I haven't tried it at the top of the ladder. I've been playing it at in Europe. It was 65% win rate, and then I switched to other stuff, and I lost like four in a row. But it's not, like, yeah, it's been doing okay. Like, it's definitely above 50%. I think it's a fine deck. I think if you like mid-range decks like Druid or Shaman, and you know, this is another one to try out.
Yeah,
if you like Paladin, same general idea.
Okay. Any last thoughts, Trump, on this deck?
Yeah, I pretty much have to echo that. It's not strictly worse or strictly better than the other two options, which are similar for this, Druid or Shaman. And it's just another option. It has its own flavor to it.
Okay, great. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we're going to go into some questions from you guys. Lots of questions again in Reddit, as usual. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to take some of your questions from Reddit. We'll start. We might start doing some call-ins. I know a lot of subscribers have been asking whether we're going to start doing some sub-call-ins, because I do some sub-call-ins and Unfiltered. We will start doing them soon. I just need to make sure somebody usually helps me out, one of my admins and mods, with that, and I have to make sure he's available during the day. So we will do that soon. I promise you we will. And you guys can ask us live on air, like any of your questions. All right, KitKats. Tempo Storm has been crushing every tournament recently. How confident are you guys coming into DreamHack Summer with your full competitive lineup in attendance?
Very. I think we have a really good feel on this metagame. I think Hunter's nerfed, so Tides is in a happy spot finally. And, I think we'll do very well. I hope you guys cheer us on. I think we'll win.
Like first, second, third win, or just
one of the winners? Depends on how they're seated, right? Might have to play each other. Like, I don't know if Gaara and Tides will have to play each other.
Right.
But first, definitely. The other spots, I don't know.
Okay, all right. That's definitely confident. And, Gaara's been doing really well. And Gaara just won Deck Wars just an hour ago against Lothar. So lots of stuff. Tides, he's still King of the Hill, right? I think yeah. Tides still in ESL King of the Hill, and he won Deck Wars too. So definitely some good stuff happening right now. On fire. Totally Protocol. Another Raid Nad question. A bunch of Raid Nad questions here. Me and Trump are just going to be like, yeah, yeah. He asked, Raid Nad, after the success of your recent arena tournament, do you think we'll see Blizzard introduce a friendly arena mode or a tournament mode with arena draft as an option? Also, was part of the reason you held this type of tournament to gauge interest in the type of tournament with the community catch Blizzard's attention?
That would be sweet. If we get like spectator mode or any tournament mode, anything from Blizzard actually,
yeah,
getting done and being there, I'm happy about. Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't know if they will do it. You know, it's tough to say, but they work hard on the game and they're dedicating their time to Naxxramas and a whole bunch of getting the mobile client working. Like,
yeah,
there's only so many resources. So, yeah, soon I think we'll see that. There's clearly a lot of interest in tournaments. So.
You guys, Trump, so a follow-up question to that. Do you see this kind of arena-like tournament being something that's viable or just purely a one-off type of, I guess a better, to be frank, just a funsies type of thing, more so than like, competitive event?
No, I definitely don't think it's a funsies thing. Okay. I think arena is... Well, let me compare it to Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering has two major scenes as well, Limited and Constructed. Mm-hmm. And I think there's no reason Hearthstone can't have the same Arena and Constructed. So I think Raynad's proven a very interesting and viewable model. And I hope for more Arena tournaments as well, or official support on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One cool thing, actually, like, bouncing off that, in Magic, they like their highest level tournaments, it's not just Constructed. They have to be a mix of the two. So people can't just have like one skill set to do well. They have to be like overall good at the game. So they have it be 50-50 drafts and 50% Constructed.
All right.
Hopefully they incorporate something like that, because it is a different skill set. And yeah.
Yeah, and if they don't, I mean, we can still continue doing what, again, you kind of prove that you can do it even without necessarily things in the game that facilitate that. So definitely cool. All right, David Y22 asks, Raynad, given ESGN's recent financial difficulties, how are your finances going? Are the Deck Tech website subscription fees bringing in enough to pay your players? I've heard grumblings among your players about having to make videos. Are you planning on making them pull out their pens and write articles for the site anytime in the future?
Was that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, for Tempestorm? Yeah, it's in their contract to make 2 videos per week. So they absolutely have to. I think it's more than fair. Videos take about an hour of time.
Yeah.
To make, I don't think that's unreasonable from players, and there will be absolutely no problem with money. The community has been really supportive with the website. I stream myself a lot. I've been saving up so I can pursue this project, and I'm responsible. We're not gonna spend our money on models to spin wheels and stuff for us. So
spin wheels.
Yeah,
nice. That's nice. Okay, see, Bat has a question about DreamHack. We kind of talked about DreamHack. Prey Monkey, question about streaming platforms. I was kind of excited to see how Twitch versus Azubu would pan out, since competition is nice. But after the first wave of people moving from Twitch to Azubu, I don't think there's going to be a second wave. Even with the huge signing bonuses, surely it can't be worth it for the people like Ecop to move from Twitch, 1K viewers, to move to Azubu for 50 viewers. I was effing shocked when I visited Azubu a few times last week and noticed that the viewing number streamers get there. Anyway, my question is, do you guys think more people are going to move to Azubu, even while knowing how abysmal it is over there? By the way, I'm not asking it a big streamers, Trump, etc., will move over because they won't, but more the average pro streamer who gets 500 to it, 1K viewers. Also, Deck Wars Season 2 Hype Train Choo Choo. So, I guess I'll ask Trump this. What do you think?
Well, I know a bit about this because I was also asked to move to Azubu.
Yeah.
And it was a tough decision, actually. So I did consider it quite strongly. I will say that the people who moved to Azubu, even though they are obviously getting quite a few less visitors, it's a logical decision for them to make. I think Azubu, what they need to do is either be able to court some of the people who are going to... That's tough because you'd have to pay them quite a lot to move from Twitch to Azubu, like if you were to lock them in there. Or they... It's tough. Like, I'm sure Azubu's thought this through somehow way more than I have, but they need to do something more than what they are doing right now, of course.
I mean, it's a tough place. It's a tough place to get something started, and... You know, in a way, they've taken the approach that you got to invest money to start it, and the way they're investing it is to pay streamers to come over. But you're not going to get instant crazy viewership because Twitch has so many users, and just the organic traffic that they get, you know, from navigating the Hearthstone category and stuff like that you get on Twitch is a lot, thousands, you know, a lot of times, especially with these guys right here. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands sometimes. So, Renad, what do you think of the whole Azubu Twitch thing?
A lot of times people look at that little number next to the red icon. They're like, oh, okay, that viewer count, that's all that matters. That's mm-hmm. like where the money's coming from and stuff. And it's not really the case. There's a lot of factors, like how much you're making per ad, which there's different rates on, and the subscription model, and then there's all these little things to consider. So for a lot of small streamers that, like, let me put it this way. I used to stream Magic. I had like 800, 900 viewers, which was insane. That's like 95% of the aggregate audience. And I still wasn't making minimum wage. So, like, it's really tough to make a living streaming. And Azubu gives smaller streamers the chance to, like, make decent money off of that by just paying them, like, a flat fee. And for some people, that makes sense. But if you're established on Twitch, it doesn't make as much sense because it, like, just having access to that many human beings at a time gives you ways to achieve stuff outside of Twitch, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I can drive traffic to my website, or try to at least. Trump built a huge YouTube audience off of his stream. It's just like, these are things you can't do with 100 people view counts. So, it makes sense for some people and it doesn't for others. And, I hope the people who switch to Azubu actually get paid. That's how I feel.
Well,
because I don't want it to be another own.com thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. Definitely true. But yeah, the viewership is, they still got some ways to go. They got ways to go just trying to get some more folks. I mean, it's not just Hearthstone, right? There's a lot of other folks, big names in other games that have moved over to Azubu too. But I guess we'll see. You know, competition definitely is good, but Twitch doesn't seem to be moving, like, doesn't seem to be, I don't know, reacting too much to it, at least, from what I can tell. All right, next question. Let's see, Zarpar. Do you think that building your own decks is a good way to improve at the game? Is there room for custom decks in the current meta with only the current card pool? Pretty general question, but, Trump, you want to take this one? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm reminded of like, what, 4 months ago or something. I was talking with Arctosis, it might have been on his show, and he made this off-the-cuff comment that, well, we've played Hearthstone for like 2 months or 3 months now, and, you know, we've probably seen all the decks out there already. And from there to now, like, there's been at least 20 to 30 new development decks. Yeah. I think that it would be tough to say, no, there won't be any more. We definitely have had a lot of time to experiment with this, and the competition is really fierce, so you can expect people to bring their best, especially with, like, the ladder system mattering and the spread of information these days. So it gets diffused really fast, and even in something like Magic the Gathering, the metagame tends to be figured out after, like, 2 or 3 months in standard or block or whatnot, and then it's each new set that mixes things up. I think we're approaching the part where most of the things have been figured out. Maybe you're going to see one or two, like, truly new oddball decks, which are actually good, and then you're just going to see incremental improvements to help certain matchups. And then you're like, yeah, that's the status right now, I'd say.
Renat?
I totally agree with Trump. It's like, it basically every type of deck that you can build in Hearthstone has already been built at some point. The difference is, like, the metagame keeps evolving to rotate in decks from, like, 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's kind of the spot we're in now. Hopefully the... Hopefully next Ramus shakes stuff up, but
yeah, I mean,
was the original.
I was going to say, I mean, the tweaks that you see are more like what Trump was saying. They're really more optimizations of decks than anything else. And, you know, it's a big difference between 3 or 4 cards, like in a lot of these decks, can make a big difference, even just the style of play that you have. So, but from a standpoint of, yeah, these overall archetypes and that sort of thing, I think Raynette's right. I think we've seen a lot of them. But we, you know, on Reddit, there's that one Reddit thread that shows you, like, all the decks that have reached legend, I think, that week or whatever. You should check that out too. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different types of decks there. So overall, I think his first question was, do you think building your own decks is a good way to improve in the game?
Oh yeah, I actually want to go on Chanman's statement there. That yeah. That thread has a few of the decks which are reaching legend, which are the decks that I would consider to be, like, the decks that aren't just incremental improvements, but are really fresh decks. Stuff like Valen Mind Blast that
yeah.
I've seen every so often.
Say a lot, yeah.
It's cool. I think that building decks is important in the sense that, well, there's two different ways to do it. You can either get good at the game by building your own deck, because then you truly know the reason why you put each card in and why you moved it. Or instead of just doing that, you need to understand the deck builder's intent. If you are playing a deck that, like, just net deck one, you need to understand why this card is here and why this card was cut for that. It helps to know the history a bit, so that when the metagame shifts, you're able to perhaps revert a few of those changes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I think building decks, if you want to get better at the game, it can't hurt, right? Like, it's just another way of playing Hearthstone. It's another thing that you're doing within the game of Hearthstone. So go for it. Just playing the game in any way at all is a way to improve. So
yeah, it's a better way to just educate yourself on the game. And it's one of the most fun parts of the game for me, even you know, even if it means, like, you know, you do something crazy and you end up losing, like, a ton. But at least, you know, at least you end up finding out why that's a bad decision and that sort of thing. So definitely recommend it. And, you know, just kind of work on your gameplay by maybe net decking and that sort of thing. But it's definitely a skill, building decks, for sure. All right, Xavier, I think, asked Reynad this question. Where's Wreckful? It's a great question because he doesn't stream anymore. Well, he kind of... pats himself on the back on that one.
Yeah.
He's a part of Tempest Storm, but where is he?
Wreckful's the official mascot. Wreckful's in Texas right now. Busy guy, girlfriend, stocks, all that he's keeping track of. We're trying to get him to go to DreamHack. He has expressed interest in doing so. We'll see if he actually, you know, goes through on that, wants to go. You know, we'll fly him out, and it'd be awesome to have him play and just hang out and stuff. But yeah, basically he's just not on the internet very often. As most of you have noticed, you know, he doesn't really stream too often. He is the kind of guy that plays Hearthstone like twice a month, gets like top 10 legend and stops. But he's just a busy guy. You know, he'll be interested in going to some tournaments, and you know, hopefully we follow through on it. Hopefully you guys will see him at events. Tempo Storm isn't just, you know, forever going to be limited to the four players we have now. Like, we are, just yesterday I approached a player, you know, we're looking to expand by one right now, and we'll see if we go through on that. But yeah, Wreckful's a really good player. You just don't see him online much, you know. He doesn't really put himself out there. He's just a busy guy, you know. He's got a lot going on,
I guess. No fluff, like, why even have him on the team then?
He actually helps us a lot with testing. And so the reason that Tides, like, got so good at Rogue, one of the reasons he won all the mirrors and deck wars and stuff, is because of preparation with Wreckful. And he's just a really smart player. I mean, there's no reason not to have him on the team, right? Like, at some point, he's going to want to play a tournament. I honestly believe he's one of the best players in the world. And when he does play this tournament, he's going to perform well. So,
yeah. Okay. Let's look for one more. Let's see. Trying to find a good one here. Okay, so T's has a few questions for each of us. Reynad, how was your date with Tides yesterday? Do you have any plans for Tempo Storm after DreamHack?
Oh, yeah. So Tides and I apparently are both in Minnesota, which we found out after... We started working together. We got sushi. That's what that was about. What was I going to say? Any plans for the Tempo Storm after DreamHack? Lots of stuff. I want to expand the website. I want to start flying out to lots of tournaments. There's a few tournaments lined up right now that I don't know if I'm allowed to announce, because I don't know if they've been announced. But, yeah, some cool stuff having to do with teams is starting up. And that's... That's pretty much it. Yeah, I kind of just take things one step at a time now with how they go. But yeah, I'm looking to expand the roster by one player right now. Yeah. And then I will just continue developing the website, continue making content for you guys. And hopefully you'll start seeing us at more and more tournaments.
All right, awesome. To Trump, would you consider attending a major Hearthstone tournament in Europe, even though you don't like to travel?
Yeah, if it was something... So it needs to be somewhere in between this one right now, the DreamHack one, and BlizzCon, and I would consider attending that one. Like, I really strongly considered attending the this one right here. I know DreamHack is a big deal. Yeah. It was, like, on the fence for me, and I'll definitely consider it moving forward.
Okay, great. And for me, Sap or Hex? I would say Hex, because I like Hex better. I like froggies. Okay, I think that's going to be it, guys, for the questions, and probably for the episode, too. Great episode today, and it's a pleasure having you on back on, Reynad, and hanging out with us and talking some Hearthstone.
Thanks for having me.
You want to do some shout-outs? Thank yous?
Yeah, thanks to Gara for winning this morning, apparently, while I was asleep.
Yeah.
Good on him. Well, yeah, shout out to TempoStorm.com, HyperX, like Phoenix iBuy Power, all our sponsors, and keep an eye out on DreamHack. Hopefully you guys cheer us on and we perform well.
Yep, DreamHack's going to be in 2 weeks, or a little bit over 2 weeks, 2 weekends at least from now. So definitely check that out. Trump, want to do some shout outs? Thank yous?
Yeah, shout out to everyone who's going to come see X-Men this Saturday with Trump over at the AMC in the Bay Area.
Nice.
More information on my stream.
Wow, a Trump gathering. What do you call all your Trump followers and subscribers?
Yeah, no official name.
No official name, okay. Trump gathering, all right, that's nice. I heard good things about the X-Men movie, too, so...
I haven't seen a movie in forever, so I look forward to it.
What's the last one you've seen?
Oh, boy. Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbit? Yeah, the Hobbit. Spock. Okay. All right, it's not that long ago. Not bad. Okay, cool. Yeah, that should be a good time, all you guys. I'll just rounded out by, you know, thanking you guys for doing the show, Reynad and Trump with me today, and all the folks that watched this show and watched Deck Wars earlier. Congrats to Gara again for winning, and thanks to Lothar, too, for participating in that. Also, I want to mention that I'm bringing back my original show, Pro Corner, that I started off doing. That's my first show I ever did on StarCraft, and I'm going to do it in Hearthstone. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, Pro Corner is a show all about coaching and having, you know, some of the top players, top coaches come and kind of do their thing on the show, and hopefully you guys might be interested in maybe getting coaching from them or just learning a few things from them. So I'm going to be starting that up on Monday. Amaz, I think, will probably be the first guy to join me on the show. So check that out. I'll have more details soon, but I'm excited. Get a chance to. So I shelved Pro Corner about a year ago, like, for StarCraft. After doing like 100 episodes, I felt like it was like about time to kind of, you know, try some different things. So getting a chance to bring back my original baby is kind of fun, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it. So be on the lookout for that. You can find the VODs for this show on youtube.com/chanmanv. I'll probably get that up in, you know, maybe 20 minutes after the show, so check it out there. A lot of people asking about the podcasts. So I haven't had a chance to do the audios recently. There's actually a guy who I've given permission to do them on his site, so I'll try to link them whenever I can in the Reddit thread so you guys can find it. But feel free, go listen to the episodes there. I just haven't had any time. I'll probably catch up one of these days and just, you know, post all on iTunes and everything again. But I'm probably like 10 episodes behind at this point. So we'll try to catch up there. Also, follow this channel if you enjoy this show or any of my other shows that I do each week. And, you know, obviously follow these guys. But I'm sure you guys already watch these guys every week. But actually, what are your Twitters? I forget. At TrumpSC and at Andre Yanuk. Right? You need to change it to Reynad, man. Tempo Store Reynad or something like that.
Yeah, I should. I just hit 10k followers. I don't want. Am I allowed to switch
it? Yeah, you can switch it. You can keep all those guys and switch it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. And then mine's at ChamMV. So that's going to be it, guys. So for Reynad, Trump, and ChamMV, that's going to be it for Value Town. We'll see you next time. Later.